Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network. Check out our Today's Issues Facebook page. You can watch the show live there, or we'll post it. We'll post the taped version later. Or you can comment on the program. You can also go to our website, AFR.net. I'm Tim Wildman. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Abe Hamilton is here with me, as he is each Wednesday. Abe is a constitutional attorney and general counsel for the American Family Association and public policy analyst with us as well. Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tim. Hey, Abe. Hey, Ray. Good morning.
Hey, Steve.
Steve's with OneNewsNow.com and American Family Radio News, and Dr. Ray Pritchard joining us from Dallas to co-host with us today as well. Hey, let me mention quickly that our September tours are filling up fast. That's right, September. Our June one's been sold out for a month. That's never happened before. We are going to, there's two trips. There's one to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. And that's September 17th through the 20th. And then there's a second tour to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon. Now, Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation, who is a historian, will be going on these tours with us to bring these places and these events and people's to life. I mean, he gives context to everything we see, Stephen does, especially from a Christian perspective. Thus, we call the tour Spiritual Heritage Tour. So, if that's something you want to do with us this year, September's our last time. We only go in June and September. So, you can find out everything you want to know about this at spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com. Again, just a few seats left on both the Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown trip and the Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon tours coming up in September. You're listening to today's. Yeah, you are. You really are. You're listening to the program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Steve, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Steve, give us some good news. What's happening out there in the world that we need to be happy about?
I would like to tell you about the possible only bipartisan action that ever came out of Capitol Hill during this administration, not for lack
puppies
of trying.
Puppies are cute, yes
puppies
or no?
Are cute. Yes. Today is the
Democrats vote no.
No.
Why? Because Trump said they were cute, so they're going against him. Go ahead, Steve, sorry.
That's okay. Today is the first ever National Vietnam War Veterans Day. If you're a Vietnam War vet out there, happy Vietnam War Veterans Day. This is a day for you. This was a bill introduced by U.S. Senator Pat Toomey, who's a Republican from Pennsylvania and a Democrat U.S. Senator from Indiana. And Trump signed it into law, and it honors March 29th being the last day that we were in Vietnam, the day we pulled out of Vietnam. In fact, this is what President Nixon had to say about this that day.
And tonight, the day we have all worked and prayed for has finally come. For the first time in 12 years, no American military forces are in Vietnam. All of our American POWs are on their way home. The 17 million people of South Vietnam have the right to choose their own government without outside interference. And because of our program of Vietnamization, they have the strength to defend that right.
It didn't exactly turn out that way.
No.
But nonetheless, this is the day that we pulled out of Vietnam, and we're honoring. You remember that our veterans were not really well received back in the day. I don't remember, but I hear. I guess I do kind of remember.
Ray would know.
It was hard, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, there was so much opposition. There's so much rioting. Either they were vilified or they were ignored when they came back home, which was a terrible thing to the hundreds of thousands of men and women who served over in Vietnam. That was a hard time in American history. And, you know, Steve, I didn't know this. I'm glad you told us. So today is would you say National Vietnam Veterans Day?
Is that National Vietnam Veteran Vietnam War Veterans Day? And it's the first one, Ray. So that you didn't know it isn't on you.
I didn't know that, but it's long overdue because they were either, like I say, vilified largely or just forgotten by history. So
you're talking about your Vietnam vets are now in their mid-60s up, right?
Right, right.
They're the guys you see on motorcycles with the gray long hair and the beard. They never really kind of grew out of the 60s mentality, a lot of them.
That's true.
It's back cool again, you know. For a while it wasn't, but
I'm sure not all of them meet that stereotype, Steve.
No, but the reason I say that is because earlier this year, I guess in January it was. No, maybe it was last year. I went down to Pascagoula to the governor's hog ride. It's the governor of Mississippi,
Phil Bryant. But
they probably
have it for any governor, I guess.
It's his ride. He brings his motorcycle people out, and they were riding for a faith-based recovery clinic. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, I saw more Vietnam vet hats at that place and on those motorcycles than I've seen in my life. Mm. Very cool people.
That's also the town that the squirrel got loose in the church.
Pascagoula.
Ray Stevens. Right, right.
And Walker's not here to make fun of right now.
That's I don't know if Abe even knows what I'm talking about.
I know. That's a great song.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, Abe, we'll have to pull that song up for
Abe. Have we never played that? That's a great song. That'll bless your heart.
It's about a squirrel getting loose in the church in Pascagoula, Mississippi, written by the great Ray Stevens.
A classic.
If you want to be inspired, Abe, and challenged, you listen to that song.
Yes.
Get
back with me all right. on that.
Will do.
All right. So, hey, by the way, on a more serious note related to the Vietnam War veterans, if you get an opportunity to, speaking of Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, it's a very moving experience to go and see the wall, the Vietnam Memorial Wall there right next to the Lincoln Memorial. And there are some, I think it's 58,000 names are inscribed on the wall of people who lost their life in Vietnam. That's there. Was that ever declared a war?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it was.
Vietnam
Remember,
conflict.
It's called a conflict.
It was called a conflict.
Right. Korea was the conflict.
That's when
the Vietnam War is what it's
may have been. I don't know if it was if Korea. That was kind of when we stopped declaring war, and we just
I know that we eased into it. We started with a couple military advisors, and it was the fight on leading out of the 50s anti-communism thing. It was the fight on to stop communism from spreading in Southeast Asia.
But that's kind of the reason, Ray, if I remember correctly, why. You know, this is kind of hard to measure, but a lot of people say, you know, if we're going to be engaged in a war, let's call it what it is.
Right.
Let's vote on it.
Right. And have a formal declaration of war.
Yes. Like we did with on Japan and Germany. Right. And if you don't do that, that's more divisive to the country because you don't get to debate it. Now, we did this for the Iraq War, the first one.
Right.
The first one and the second one, but we didn't call it war.
It was an authorization.
It wasn't a declaration of war.
That's right.
Even then,
although we speak informally of the war on terror, but you're saying it was
Congress never really took never voted to declare war on anything.
Yeah, and the war on terror is makes no sense either.
No,
as Ed has pointed out.
All right,
we're at war with terror. You see terror out there, you go get them.
Yeah.
You know, let's
what
go get them. Roll in the
that?
Tanks
right.
on terror.
Right.
You know, bomb terror. No, terror is a tactic that the radical Islamist or the jihadist use. But we don't want to call them that because that's not PC. But as Ed said last week, I think, the Germans use what they call Blitzkrieg, right?
Blitzkrieg,
which was a way to fight.
Mm-hmm.
True,
it's a method.
Right,
a method.
A lightning strike, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, but we didn't. But our country, our reporters, nobody said, America has declared war on
Blitzkrieg.
Blitzkrieg.
No.
Right. No, we declared war on Nazi Germany and Imperial Japan.
Yeah.
We've gotten away from, people don't know war on terror, who we fighting.
A little harder when it's not a country, though, that you're fighting.
That's right.
It's an ideology.
It's an ideology. You could.
But then you have religion. To identify the ideology.
You got. That's right. That's what I'm saying. You got to cite.
Which we don't want
to do. You got to be willing to cite. Well, President Trump does.
That's right.
You got to be willing to cite the ideology. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but some people think there is. It kills me the lengths that people will go to not mention the obvious. In Germany, or where was it last week, they were saying, you know, our country is against violent extremism. What is that?
What?
You're against violent extremism. What? You know, no, what they're saying is we're against jihad against our country, but we don't want to call it that because we might offend Muslims. And which begs the question, if this isn't being done by Muslims, why are you afraid to offend them? You can't have it both ways. You say this is not a, you say this, these actions are not a result of Islamic jihad, and then you say, but if we say Islamic jihad, we offend the people who you say are not acting out. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
On this. All right. We have with us Dr. Alex McFarland from, I don't know where Alex is today. He's usually in the Carolinas somewhere, north or south. And
Oklahoma
he joined
us. City.
Where are you?
Oklahoma City today.
All right.
That's not near any of the Carolinas.
I know. I'm very far from home, but I'm out here preaching in Oklahoma City.
Well, welcome back to our program, Alex. So, what are you and Brother Bert Harper going to be talking about on your next exploring the Word? What are y'all going through?
Well, we've been going through the Old Testament, looking at Jesus in all of the books of the Old Testament, and this week we did Jonah, and yesterday we were in the book of Micah. And so we're talking about how Christ is on every page of the Old Testament. So, Sunday night, we were out here in Oklahoma City for one of our spiritual town hall rallies where we, Bert and I together, once or twice a year, we'll go to some city and we will have a prayer rally and we meet a lot of great AFR listeners. And, you know, there must be a pretty prominent station here because I was at the Oklahoma Baptist yesterday, the Baptist Convention of Oklahoma, and met so many people who are faithful listeners to AFR.
Well, so you guys, you mentioned that Jesus is in the Old Testament. How can that be? Jesus didn't come along to the New Testament.
Well, you know what? People ask this question, how did people before the life of Christ get saved? Was it by good works, keeping the law? And the answer is no. They got saved by faith, faith in the Messiah that would come. Now, we look back in faith at the Messiah that did come. Same Messiah, same Jesus, but just living on two different sides of the cross. Remember Jesus said, search the scriptures, for they testify of me. I believe throughout all of the Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi, the Lord sprinkled in clues that pious Jews could have connected the dots and said, okay, wait a minute, born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin, came speaking in parables, fulfilled the law, had a scepter, as Deuteronomy 24 says. He must be this promised Messiah. So, yeah, Jesus is in the Old Testament.
You agree with that?
I do agree. I do agree. When you have things like Psalms 22:1, David, thousands, at least close to 1,000 years prior to the invention of crucifixion, you have David prophetically saying the exact verbiage that Jesus utters on the cross. The Old Testament literally is filled with pointing the way to Jesus Christ. Even Abraham's sacrificial episode with Isaac, where you have, you know, the Lord will provide himself a lamb. So I agree 100% with what Alex just said.
Right. Well, hey, Alex, tell our listeners about, you mentioned the book of Jonah. I imagine some of our listeners would go, oh, Jonah, that's the great fish and stuff. But what does that have to do? Tell us the connection between Jonah and Jesus.
Oh, wow. Well, Jesus, it's funny. Jonah is one of the most maligned books in the Old Testament. And, you know, Jesus, the only prophet that Jesus really compares to himself is Jonah. because Jesus in Matthew chapter 12 said, as Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of the great fish, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and nights. So Jonah surviving in the tomb of a whale's belly was very pictorial of Jesus emerging alive from the grave. And by the way, you know what? I'll tell you something very, very amazing. And you know, this harkens back to my own time as a college student. I became a Christian at 21. The time that I was getting under conviction, I was reading the Bible and beginning to understand that I needed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I was very enamored with the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis. You remember Joseph in the Coat of Many Colors. And so I'm reading Genesis 37 through 45. And, okay, Joseph was betrayed for 20 pieces of silver, the price of a slave in his day. Jesus was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. Joseph emerged alive from an intended grave. Jesus emerged alive from an intended grave. Joseph had a banquet, gave gifts to his family. Jesus has invited us to a banquet, and he's going to give us gifts and rewards. And I remember I was reading the story of Joseph, and I thought, wow, I get it. This is pictorial of Jesus who would come one day. And Joseph is just one. Jonah is one. King David is very pictorial. So really, the Old Testament is this primer to prepare our heart, our attention, to grasp the one who is the embodiment of it all, Jesus, the Son of God. And so that's what Bert and I have been teaching through on Exploring the Word for the last month.
So you can tune in the on weekday afternoons at 3:05 Central Time for Exploring the Word of God, the Bible, with Dr. Alex McFarland, who you're just hearing right now, and Brother Bert Harper, who's on staff with us here. So you guys will be on this afternoon talking about this. Go ahead, Steve.
Have you ever heard of a song called He Is by Aaron Jeffrey?
I love that song.
That's a song that lists Christ. Alex, you're familiar with it. A song that lists where Christ and how he shows up in every book of the Bible. It's a great song.
By who?
Yeah.
Aaron Jeffrey, which is a father-son, a father-son team.
Yes, and do you know that song, folks? Drop what you're doing. Go listen to that song.
After the show.
So awesome.
Yeah, after our show.
Yes, exactly.
After our show.
The program. Right. But you know what? Hey, I want to say a big shout out to all the listeners of Exploring the Word. Well, all the AFR listeners, but the listeners of AFR are so wonderful, and I meet these people in airports and just so many places I go. They come up, and, you know, guys, we've met so many folks who have either come to the Lord or maybe come back to the Lord listening to this show. And we got a call one day. Bert and I were on the air, and a guy calls in, and he had a little bit of emotion in his voice. And he goes, listen, you guys used to make me so mad because I would listen to the program, and you would talk about Jesus being the one and only Savior, and the Bible is the Word of God, and the Bible, is still relevant today. He said, and I would listen to your show, and I would get angry because I disagreed with you. He said, but 6 months goes by, and he said, I want you guys to know I've accepted Christ as my Savior. And he's telling this testimony on air, and we're just, you know, barely able to hold emotion back ourselves. And he said, I'm in church, I found Christ, and I just want to thank you for what you're doing. And, you know, we give God the glory. It's for God's glory, but it's also to fulfill his great commission, which... you know, I know AFR does a great work defending faith and family, religious freedom, but what I want everybody also to know is all of us, we've got the heart of an evangelist, don't we?
Absolutely. Well, that's the Great Commission.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a bishop or an elder or a deacon or a pastor for that. That's for every one of us.
Absolutely.
Yep. So the Great Commission, that is proclaiming the truth about Christ, or telling people about Jesus.
Winning the lost. And, you know, that's the ultimate hope for our country. I mean, we've got so many issues and everything, and we've got to fight the good fight and proclaim truth. But the ultimate hope of America or any country is that people come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus. And when the hearts of people are changed to Jesus, that's when the culture is changed.
Amen.
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 You want
to and I was going to say, when you were referring to the heart of an evangelist and fulfilling the Great Commission, I would just add, it's the love of God that compels us, and also being keenly aware of ourselves, even personally, of what it's like to be lost in trespasses and sins. It is that reality that thrusts us and compels us to be vigorous defenders of the faith, to be here on the front lines. It is the love of Christ that compels us to be witnesses on his behalf.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, amen and amen, Steve.
Amen and amen and amen. Amen.
All right.
Absolutely.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I want to touch on one last news story before we go. Ray, Abe, and Alex with me, with Steve. Steve, go ahead. Tell us about
an amazing headline in the New York Times, of all places, an op-ed that they published by a guy named Thomas Grumenark. I believe that's a Grumenarch. It's Thomas Groom, and the date, March, was appended to his name in my copy. Anyway, Thomas Groom is professor of theology and religion at Boston College, and the title of this is "To Win Again, Democrats Must Stop Being the Abortion Party."
This is in the New York Times?
New York Times. Wow. So this is a Catholic who says that when he came some 45 years ago from Ireland and into the Catholic culture here in this country, he was told that Catholics vote Democrat, and it was for their social justice message. But as they became more and more strident in the abortion message after Roe v. Wade, then they started losing Catholics. At least it was a moral dilemma for Catholics. And he points out that Mrs. Clinton lost the Catholic vote in this last election. And if Catholics want to win again, now he is a Democrat, so he's writing from Democrat perspective. But he says, for many traditional Catholic voters, Mrs. Clinton's unqualified support for abortion rights and Mr. Trump's opposition and promise to nominate a pro-choice or a pro-life Supreme Court justice were tipping points. And so this is what he says they need to do. To begin with, Democrat politicians should publicly acknowledge that abortion is an issue of profound moral and religious concern. Democrats should not threaten to repeal the Hyde Amendment, which forbids federal funds to be used for abortions. They could also champion an aggressive program to promote adoption by strengthening the Adoption Assistance Act of 1980. And this is how he says they are to get votes back. Now, that's the one story. The second story in this is how the media reacted to this. On Twitter, we are getting, and I can't read half of the words, but from media types, I have things like this from Scott, a CNN member. "I beg your blank pardon." And another person from another author said, "Go blank off." I mean, they were outraged that someone would suggest that Democrats stop standing for abortion.
Well, and their abortion views are to the extreme. I mean, the Democrat Party does not allow you to be pro-life in any way.
That's right.
And that's the other thing he says they need to do is stop, put a place in their party for pro-life.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Alex.
God bless you guys. Thanks.
Steve, thank you. Abe?
Yes, sir.
And Ray?
Thanks, Tim.
Appreciate everyone listening to this program. Again, you can check us out on Facebook for Today's Issues. You can go to our website at AFR.net. Shoot us an email at comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. We'll see you back here tomorrow, folks. Keep listening to AFR and have a great day.